Turn, Turn, Turn contains the oldest lyrics of any rock song. It goes back probably 3,000 years ago. People attributed this to King Solomon. And indeed, that's a long time ago. But the words come from our scripture today, from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Polly and I will be sharing this with you, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. I'll do verses 1 through 8, which contains the poem upon which this song was written. The song was written, again, and placed into music in the 50s by Pete Seeger. So he's actually the artist behind the song Turn, Turn, Turn. But then in December of 1965, the Byrds came out with an album, Turn, 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 and it reached the number one place in the Billboard charts and stayed there for a while. And then, of course, the Byrds flew off from there. So that's a little bit of a history behind the song, but now the poem upon which it's based. For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time for love and a time for hate. A time for war and a time for peace.
He has set the time for love and the time for hate, the time for war and the time for peace. What do we gain from all our work? I know the heaviest burdens that God has laid on us. He has set the right time for everything. He has given us a desire to know the future, but never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what He does. So I realize that all we can do is be happy and do the best we can while we are still alive. All of us should eat and drink and enjoy what we have worked for. It is God's gift. I know that everything God does will last forever. You cannot add anything to it or take anything away from it. And one thing God does is to make us have reverence for Him. Whatever happens or can happen has already happened before. God makes the same thing happen again and again. And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There are four big festivals in the Jewish faith. One of those four is called the Festival of Booths, B-O-O-T-H. The Hebrew word is Sukkot. And actually, it's based upon two things. You go back to the time of Exodus, and you see that this festival was established to celebrate the harvest festival, the ingathering, the time of the fall of the year where crops were brought in and the people of God brought them before God to give thanks for the rich abundance of food, and they would celebrate. It's sort of like our Thanksgiving. But then as you go to the book of Leviticus, you see that the Festival of Booths also commemorated the time of journey in the wilderness, those 40 years that they journeyed from the time of Exodus to the time of entering the Promised Land. And the people, as they were journeying, they lived in little booths, these temporary places of residence. They had no permanent home. They had these little temporary shacks that would be built and then taken down and built and taken down. And so what this festival is all about, it's a beautiful festival, the Festival of Booths. It's a time of celebrating the beauty of a season that God has blessed His people with, the ingathering. It's a time of celebrating what's good about life. The goodness of food. The goodness of drink. And then, of course, since they remembered that time in the wilderness of traveling and living in booths, they remembered how God provided for their need day by day, by day by day, while they lived in a booth that would only stay up for a little while and then be taken down and over and over and over again. In other words, they were very much aware that because they were a people who lived in booths, they lived in life, in time, as a people who recognized the transience of life. That things, even good things, don't last. And so during the Festival of Booths, they pull out the book of Ecclesiastes. And they read from Ecclesiastes the passage that Polly read about eating and drinking and enjoying what you have and seizing the day. And matter of fact, the phrase carpe diem, seize the day, kind of is applicable to the teaching of Ecclesiastes. And so during this time, they still do, build a little lean-to shack next to their house, and it would last about a week, maybe, but the festival was for a week. And during that time, they would invite friends over to have supper, and they would take the fruit, they would take the produce that, if not eaten in season, would soon ripe and be no good. They would celebrate the friendships that they had. But friendships, as we all know, are gifts but for a season, because friends don't live forever. And so the whole festival was about enjoying what we have now, because even the very best of things, the fruit that is not eaten in season will spoil. The friends that we don't celebrate with now will one day be gone. So even though all of life is passing away, even though you, me, all of us are here but for a day, yet Ecclesiastes calls us to seize the day, to enjoy the good that God has given us. And so that's what this festival is all about. Now, I read a book by Harold Kushner. He's a great writer. He wrote the book many years ago, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. The title of this book is When Everything You've Always Wanted Isn't Enough. It's a good book. And it's actually a study of the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's in this book that I derive a lot of my material from for this message about the Festival of Booths. And he says, even to this day, that what he truly appreciates about the Festival of Booths is the recognition of color. The leaves begin to change their color. But yet he knows that there will be a time when the leaves drop and winter comes. So the beauty of autumn needs to be enjoyed in autumn. And I got to thinking about how what he was talking about was there's a beauty in that season. There's a truth that we need to know about life. And there's a love that we have to share, because one of the most important things that's done during the Festival of Booths is charity is given to those who have not. Love is shared with those who are lonely. Love is given to the unlovable. Love is shared in family, but it's beyond the circle of family. It's the community. It's the world. It's wherever there is need, love is shared. So I got to thinking about how this particular festival was all about recognizing the beauty and learning the truths and sharing the love that you have to give. And then I thought to myself, wait a minute. That will work in every season of life. And so I came up with this little thought. Now, this is my thought. I didn't copy this from anybody, but I was inspired by Harold Kushner. And my thought is that in every season, there is a beauty to behold, a truth to know, and a love to share. So that's my contribution to this book of knowledge in every season. Now, As a pastor, one of the privileges that I have, that I'm invited to come into the lives of people who are in various seasons of life. You know, we're all in some season. I want you to be thinking today about maybe what would you name the season you're in now. But as a pastor, I'm invited to come into the lives of people who are in various seasons of life. There's a little girl right here, adorable little girl, and Polly and I will go home. We'll talk about what a joy she is, and we can tell she's a joy to her parents. But we also know that in this season of life, they need to know that she's not always going to be young, and that it's so very important that in this stage they enjoy their little girl as their little girl, and that, well, the gift of time that we have now is truly to be enjoyed. And they have so much to look forward to seeing her grow up. But for right now, enjoy this season. Now, I know some parents are in a hurry for their children to grow up. I know that. Hang in there. I want to remind you that even though those seasons are difficult, if you look, even in those seasons, you'll find a beauty. You know, there'll be a time when that season passes and you'll probably look back and you'll say, oh, the good old days. So you'll have to look hard sometimes, but there's a beauty in every season. And just this past week, I made a house visit, and I knew why I was going, and I had a word of prayer before I went because, you see, the call came in. I've been diagnosed with cancer. It's terminal. It's in my bones. It's in my lungs. I want to talk with you about you doing my service when the time comes. My family is here. I need to see you. She doesn't live far from the church. So I walked into the home. And I sat down with the family. The best gift that I have to offer is just my presence. I don't know anything that's magical. I know something that's important, and that is show up and listen up and love up. And so I was there. I began to hear various things about the family, and they have a daughter who wants to get married. And the mother was thinking, boy, I'd love to be able to live long enough to see that. And so there was multiple seasons in life going on. But then after I listened to everyone and how they felt about this, and as they began to process this, then I drew upon this wisdom, and I said, you know what? You know what we have right now? Do you know what you have right now as a family? You have the gift of time called now. Say and do the things that really matter. You know, some people don't know that they're approaching death, and perhaps they're not even prepared for it. They can't even get ready for it or prepare their loved ones for it. But, you know, I don't want to talk about morbid things. I want to talk about life because that's what you have right now. And I can promise you this, that when we truly learn how to live in the moment to the fullest with what God gives us, we need not fear death. Death has been defeated. Perfect love cast out fear. I promise you, that the same God who was there at your beginning will be there at your end. It's hard for us to face death, but we face death by living. And so I said, hey, you know what? Let's begin to talk about what you want to do, what you want to say, and what you want to see happen. By the time I left that house, there were smiles, there were tears, and there was joy. And something had changed. They recognized they needed to see the beauty of that season, to learn the truths they needed to know, and to share the love they had to share. Never ceases to amaze me now. When I walk into people's lives, it doesn't matter which season of life they're in, I'm able to draw upon that wisdom. And so for myself, many, many, many years ago, I was struggling with issues, and that's why I began to study wisdom in the Bible, because I needed it. And I was deeply troubled about various things, and I just immersed myself in the wisdom of Proverbs, the wisdom of Ecclesiastes, the wisdom of Job that I will share next week. and then the wisdom of the epistle of James, and then the wisdom that we find also in various Psalms, and the wisdom we find in 1 Corinthians. And I began to think, you know, I need some prayers. And so I developed a prayer that went along with Proverbs. Proverbs went something like this: "Oh Lord, I believe that your will for my life is just what I'd want for myself if I were but wise enough to figure it out. But since I'm not, will you please drop me a hint and make it clear, because I don't take hints." And then for Ecclesiastes, I said, you know, Lord, no matter what's going on right now, this is the best of all possible times, because this is the only time I've got. So show me what to do with the season called now. Now, I have a prayer for Job, but you'll have to come back next week for that. So my own prayer is, Lord, these are the best of all possible times if we but knew what to do with the time called now. Now, Ecclesiastes, if you go home and start reading Ecclesiastes, I want to warn you. This guy can get you down in a heartbeat. I'm not kidding you. Now, I'm not prepared right now to do a Bible study on Ecclesiastes. I'd love to, because, boy, I got immersed in him. But I will warn you about this. Ecclesiastes, he certainly had a different approach to life. He always wants to remind us that in the end, we all die. Whew. But yet, in the midst of this very book, he doesn't give up on life. Quite the contrary. Not despite the fact that we don't live forever, but because we don't live forever, this moment counts. This life counts. And we can have joy in it to the degree that God gives us the enjoyment. Now, for Ecclesiastes, he based his understanding only on what he saw, only what he experienced. He didn't have the gift of what we have of revelation of God through Jesus Christ. He didn't have that. So he just did the best he could. And he did a pretty good job. But for us who are Christians, we have a deep resource of faith to draw upon. A very deep resource of faith to draw upon. See, because Jesus is not only Lord of our life, he's Lord of all the seasons of our life, and he's Lord over all the changes of our life. And so when we go through seasons in life, we can look to Jesus to guide us. We can look to Jesus to give us strength. We can look to Jesus to give us hope. And that's what we have. Even as we try to navigate life's priorities, choices, seasons, challenges, and circumstances. And that's why I'm preaching on a word to the wise, because we need wisdom as we navigate life's priorities, choices, seasons, challenges, and situations. And so as we navigate these things, we don't have to navigate them by ourselves. We look to Jesus. Now, I mentioned that there's a beauty to behold. Jesus will help us see that beauty. There's a truth to know. Jesus will teach us the truth. There's a love to share, and Jesus will show us the love that we have to share. But there's also a hope that he can give us. The kind of hope that Ecclesiastes didn't have. It wasn't his fault. He was living in his day and time, drawing upon the deep resources of faith that he had. But the hope that we have, that Jesus can give us, is simply this: that our lives have meaning and value and purpose, and that no labor of love done in Jesus' name is ever in vain. That life is not an endless pain with a painful end. That while our life on earth will come to an end, our life in Christ is eternal. And that's the hope that we have as we look to Jesus, the Lord of our life and all the seasons of our life and all the changes in our life. Now, if you go back and listen to the song, Turn, Turn, Turn by the Birds, And they, you know, they made all the money off that. Pete Seeger wrote the song back in the 50s, recorded it in the 60s. He didn't make the money on it, but he wrote the song. If you go back and listen to it, you'll say, wait a minute. There's a line in that song that's not in this poem. You know what it is? It's right at the end of the song. A time for peace. I swear it's not too late. You see, Pete Seeger came up with that song in the 60s while Vietnam was going on. Part of the peace movement. And there's an element that I need to uplift right now as a church and as Christians. And that is, we are always in every season of life to pray and work for peace. I swear it's not too late. Do you know what's going on in the world today? Turn. Time for peace. I swear it's not too late. Now, when peace comes, it's not because of what we've done, but God involves us in the peacemaking. So we pray for it, we work for it, and we don't grow weary in doing that because we worship. And it's in worship that we are renewed, we're reminded who God is and who we are, and it's times like this that God expects the church to rise up in the face of what happened yesterday and to say there's a better way to live. We're calling for repentance and reconciliation. We're pursuing peace all the while we work for justice. This is always in season. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation and peacemakers in the world. I'm so glad that Pete Seeger thought to add that. Because that is always in season. So what's the application? Glad you asked. Here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to sit down. I want you to think about, wow, I'm just busy doing life. I don't know what season it is. Sit down, take a deep breath, and then do some reflection. Start with how old you are. Start with what's going on in your life. Start with what you're struggling with. Start with what your hopes are. Start with what your fears are. I want you to think about what the season of your life is. Then I want you to begin pray just simply, you know, Lord, show me the beauty of this season. Show me the truths I need to know and teach me to share the love I have to give and renew me with the hope that I have with which to live. And then look for ways to be kind and good and peace-loving. It won't be in vain. The call today is simply for prayer. This is a season of prayer for any need that you have. Rejoicing, interceding, for healing, for comfort. This now is a season of prayer. Let us pray. Stand up.